But let's just receive today in a condensed form what God has for us today. Psalm 77, it says, I've cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I have sought the Lord. My soul ran into the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes awake. I am troubled and I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I've called to remembrance the song of the night. I commune with my heart and my spirit made diligent search. Here, we had listened to a message on the way down, and I thought this would be the awesome way to open up into what I really want to share today. And here is a gentleman, here's a person who is having a bad night. He is struggling. He is wondering. He is crying out. And in the midst of that, verse 7, will the Lord cast me off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone from forever? Doth his promises fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? But I say this in my infirmity, in my trouble. In the beginning, he's sharing that he's having a bad night. And he's thinking he cannot sleep. And he's thinking about all the things that are troubling him. There is pain. There is anguish. There are all these things. And he's wondering where God is. He's trying to remember the good old days. How many are there before? Amen? I remember how you were when you're 20 years old. When you're 30. I mean, how it was back in the 50s, right? For some of you. No one here, of course. But they're having a hard night and they're wondering in their anguish, where is God? I'm trying to think of the good times I had. I'm trying to think of me living a life, without debt. I'm trying to find myself trying to find the times when I had no pain. I'm trying to find the times when everything was good in life. But he's struggling. He's struggling. And then from there, in verse 7, he goes on. He says, will the Lord cast me off forever? And will he be favorable no more? He's starting to get blurred now. He's going off course. In the New Living Translation, it says, has the Lord rejected me forever? He says, will he ever be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Has his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? Now he's getting blurred from the situation because he's in a place, a situation, a circumstance, and he starts to get blurred in his focus, and he starts to really look at God and say, God, why have you done this? When it wasn't God at all. This sounds really uplifting, amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Murray, for come sharing that. Man, I needed that message. No, that don't sound good at all. Here's a real person going through real circumstances in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of all pain, and he's crying out and he's wondering where God is. He's blurred. He's saying, God, why are you doing this? God, what's the purpose in this? Let me talk to you about purpose for a minute. If we think that sickness comes from God, poverty comes from God, and it is some purpose to work in our life, why are we hypocritical and going to the doctor? Why are we hypocritical and taking medicine? If it's God's purpose, find out the full purpose. But how many know that's not true? Amen? God's purpose is everlasting life. God's purpose, Jesus came and says, I've come that you have life and have it more abundantly. Here's what I wanted to share with you today. But I'm just going to touch on it. I got tons of scripture and we're not going to get into it today. Last time I was here, we prayed for Pastor Steve, and me and Tracy had some time alone in the morning. And I prayed. And I heard this so many times, and I understand the scripture, and I prayed and I said, in the name of Jesus, I curse this cancer now in the name of Jesus. And at that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit just give me a nudge. And as soon as it came out of my mouth, it didn't sound right. So in that, he gave me a nudge, and he kept on nudging me all the way home. And I thought, I got to read that scripture. I got to get into the scripture. And first, I went to the dictionary. I go to the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. There's an app for that. And I went to it, and it's all based upon the Bible. And there is no good definition of a curse. There's no righteous curse. How many know in this world we think there's black magic and there's white magic? No such thing. It's all demonic. But we come to the place where I said, now I just cursed a thing based upon Jesus, in the name of Jesus, as Jesus did, I cursed this thing. And it didn't sound right. It didn't fit right. And I said, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say? So he says, look it up, read it for yourself. So I got home, I got down I go at around 10 o'clock usually in our church, and I go and I pray and I study and I pray and I study and I go, what is this, God? He says, look at the scripture. I wasn't going to get into this today, but I need to share this with you. And the Bible says that Jesus came and he answered the fig tree. Amen? Did it say he cursed the fig tree? We're going to get to that in a moment. It said he answered the fig tree. The fig tree was showing leaves, but no harvest, lacking no harvest. So what did Jesus do? Well, he thought this was a great time for illustration to teach his disciples. And we're going to build upon that in just a moment. But he says, from this day shall no one eat from you forever. He didn't curse. He spoke, answered the one tree. How do we know that? Because it was only one tree. There's still fig trees all around Jerusalem, right? So every tree didn't shrivel up and die. He spoke to the one tree. He answered the tree. What was the tree sharing forth? That the purpose was not being fulfilled. So the Bible says, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so, because of an illustration, he bound the purpose of that tree because it was not fulfilling its purpose. He bound it. How do we know this? Well, John chapter 15, verse 2, it says that every branch that does not bear fruit, he casts away. He gets rid of it. So based upon the scripture, he bound that tree, and then he went into Jerusalem. And people think of, I like people's mentality of Jesus as this spiritual hippie. Peace, brother, peace, right? That's all he did. But he went into Jerusalem. He got so angry, he started turning over change tables. He started whipping people. What would Jesus do? But in that, we get beyond that. So then they're walking outside of the city now, and Peter says, look at the tree. It is withered up by its roots, the tree that you cursed. And that's where we get that from, right? We go, in the name of Jesus, we curse this thing. But why would Jesus have to step over into the realm of the devil to make a point? Does Jesus need the devil's help? Anybody? Does he need to step over and curse something to make a point? Well, he never did that. It said he answered the tree. The tree was showing forth leaves. And at the time of the tree, if it were showing leaves, it should have had fruit, figs. But it did not. The purpose was not functioning. So as an illustration, he bound the purpose. And now he goes. And now in Peter's mind, in his limited earthly thinking, the only thing he could come up with is, Jesus, look at the tree that you cursed. Who said it? Peter said it, not Jesus. Jesus answered the problem, And Peter saw it in his earthly mentality. Look at what you cursed. You see that? Then he goes on to say, here's how we see this now. He says, now, here's the illustration, have faith in God. The very next, and if you're trying to look for it, I see some people looking for it. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, whoever hath faith, he says, you can say to this mountain, be thou what? Removed. He removed the purpose. So the Holy Spirit taught me something on how to pray. I see the problem. I speak to the problem, and I bind the purpose of the problem. How many know poverty is not a good thing? Sickness is not a good thing. Well, we bind the purpose and we remove it. And it must, as Jesus did, it must shrivel up because it has no more purpose. Now, saying all that, I didn't want to say that today because that's a whole different message that you just go into. This man is having a hard day. He's having a hard night. But he goes on to say, but he says, is this my fate? Is the Most High turned his hand against me? But the scripture says, but. And this is where my wife said, you cannot use that title. I at my church, I would have said, this is my sermon on big old buts in the Bible. And I say, how many of you like a big old butt? After today, you'll like a big old butt. Because this man is going through a certain situation. He's just crying out. But the Bible says, then I recall unto, he says, recall in the New Living Translation. Then I recall all that you've done, O Lord. And I remember the wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constant in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about them. I got to read it out of the King James. He says, in the King James, he says, but I remember the years of the right hand. The right hand means deliverance of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate. I will focus. I will put my mind on those that all the work in. He says, the talks of thy doings. He says, I will get my mind off of the problem. I'll get my mind off of the situation and I will put it on you. I will focus on you. I will meditate upon you, and whatever I meditate on, whatever I get close to, comes closer to me. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. If you start to draw nigh unto the world's problems, it'll come closer to you. If you start to go into the devil's realm, and you start to worry, pity, and you start to take all the cares of the world, those things will come closer to you. But I want to tell you that if we get close to the Word of God, His Word will come close. His promises will come close. His miracles will come close. Amen? Amen. So draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. So we have to focus. We have to meditate on the goodness of God. Amen? See, we get blurred sometimes because we start to focus on the situation. Oh, help us, Lord God. There's a storm. Our boat's going to sink. Our boat's, and Jesus is just in the back. He's just sleeping it off. Because he didn't say, let's get in a boat and go halfway over and sink. He said, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. So with that, we have to believe in a good God, amen? We have to believe in a God that is for you and not against you. We got to believe that even though in the expandable version, I like this, John 10:10, a thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy, but, there's one of those big old buts, I've come to give you life, life in all its fullness and abundance. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but, a big old but, of power, of love, and a sound mind. Amen? Mark 10:27, and Jesus looking upon them saying, with men it is impossible, but not with God, because with God all things are possible. In other words, if you are walking in the realm and in the presence of God, there are no limits and the possibilities are endless. Woo! Somebody ought to get excited. Because somewhere or another, someone has limited you with some type of understanding that you could only go so far. But an utmost God is looking for utmost children who have no limits. Hallelujah. No limits. I say, I thank you, Lord God, that there are no limits on me. But here's the three major ones I love. And I heard this one not too long ago in this building. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay. How many know what that word nay means? It means in the Greek, A-L-L-A, Allah. It means, but... For real, look it up. But, big but number one. But, oh, I didn't tell you what but means. I'll tell you in a minute. But in all things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, through him that loved us. Do you know what but means in the English language? It means this. I take emphasis off of all I said, and after the word but, I put all my emphasis on this part I'm just about to share with you. So he says, for thy sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. But, in other words, I am taking all the emphasis off of what I just said, and I'm going to put it on, listen to what I'm about to say, look at my lips, listen to what I'm about to say, because that is where the emphasis is going to be, and it is, if I can find it, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Big but number two. Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh, hallelujah, praise God. That's sometimes where we stop. Oh, hallelujah, many of the afflictions are the righteous. Yes, Father God, I am the righteousness of God, so I must endure afflictions. But that's not where he stopped. He says, many of the afflictions are of the righteous, but the Lord hath delivered him out of them all. I am taking all the point and all of what I said, and after I say but, I'm putting all the emphasis on what I'm about to say. Many of the afflictions are, he says, once again, many of the afflictions are the righteous, but, he says, but the Lord hath delivered them out of them all. John 16:33, for I have spoken, he said, that in this world you shall have tribulation. Amen. Close the Bible. The Bible said it. That's what we are going to live it. In this world we are going to have tribulation. And that's where most people stop. And then we have this doctrine of tribulation. But that's where Jesus stopped. He says, but be of good cheer. That means you can have a smile on your face, a skip in your step, and a glide in your stride. You can go through life knowing that the abundant one is with you, who has given you life, life in abundance, that he's going to make you go over and not under, above and not beneath, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? So he's saying, in this world you may have tribulation, and that's what this world is going through. There are so many people, and if you understand how the world is going to progress, it's not going to get any better. That's Bible talk. We think we can put together all we want. The Bible says it's not going to get any better. But be of good cheer. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Ha, 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 ha. Amen? Sometimes you just can't laugh. Right? you're trying, you hear the best joke, the funniest joke ever, and you're so beaten, you just go, that's all you got in you. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Oh, there's so many of these in here. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, we look at the things that are seen, but things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Do you have a such as I have? Anybody? One person? Hallelujah, I'll take that. Such as I have, I give unto thee. Rise up and walk. Amen? Amen. I don't know about you, but a lot of times the situation, the problem can be overwhelming. But if we start to focus on the source, if we start to focus on the answer, and we start to receive through his word, and now from that word, the manifestation starts to take place on the inside. The manifestation of love, the manifestation of joy, the manifestation of healing, the manifestation of provision, the manifestation of all who Christ is in you. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this thing becomes contagious. Amen? You go to work with a smile on your face and people think, what are they happy for? Because I'm at my job, not because I need to make a living. I'm at my job because it is a divine appointment by God, and I'm there, and that company is blessed because I'm there. My job is not my source. God is my source. But he shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I don't know about you, but I just preach myself happy. There's something about the goodness of God that when you receive it, something starts to happen on the inside of you. And in the most terrible situation, you can stand and you can say, devil, no, you will not succeed. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am standing upon the word. I'm standing with the anointing. I'm standing with an almighty God who is beside me, who is with me, who is going before me. And I want to tell you that we are not going to bow, but we are going to overcome. Hallelujah. Because when the devil starts to attack, man, he just starts to attack. He just starts to attack. That's why we have the full armor of God. But he starts to attack. And then as we were hearing on the way down, we were listening to Jerry Seville. He says, well, if the devil wants to try to remind you of all, he's trying to condemn you to failure, you need to stand up and say, devil, you want to talk about failure? Let's talk about failure. Devil, here is the very one that you tried to overcome God, but you failed, and he sent you, he defeated you. You tried to do all these things. You tried to come against Jesus, and you failed. You tried to come against my family members in the past. You failed. I want to tell you, if you want to talk about failure, I'll share with you failure. Hallelujah. Because in the midst of it, devil, let's go even further. Let's talk about your future. Because your future is a future of failures. And you will still go to a heaven or to a hell, to a lake of fire. You will still be defeated. You'll still be judged. And this is your future. Well, everything you fought for, everything you desired, everything you wanted, God has given it to me through Jesus Christ. Hey, that's talking about you. The very thing Satan wanted is what you have the fullness of in Christ Jesus. So I'm not around. And I told you last time, and I asked Tracy, I said, did I finish that? And I told you, and I stood up here for about 5 minutes. I said, I'm not emotional, because faith is not moved on emotion. Faith is moved based upon the word of God. When I pray uplifting scriptures. I'm not crying out, trying to get a God to hear me. He's here already, and I just need to move by the scriptures. It says that he says he watches over his word to perform it. Amen? He sent his word that it would not return to him void, but it would accomplish and prosper to where he sent it. You know the funniest place I saw Gideon's Bible, since they're here today? Outside the hotel room, outside the door of a hotel room, those people could not stay in the same room as the Word of God. The devil is working overtime. But I want to tell you today, and I said I'm going to be half an hour in about 3 minutes. I've been watching, don't worry. But listen, this way I gotta get a drink. Where we are, it seems like things are getting worse and worse and worse. But I'm here to say, but it be for God who is with you, who is for you, who is interceding on your behalf, who Jesus, who has paid the ultimate price so that you could stand up in the midst of all the things that are going on. And if it's, and I like this saying, if the devil wants to fight, yeah, I'll give him a fight. But at the end of the day, when the dust settles, I'll still be victorious and he'll still be defeated. Amen? Amen. So in that, I'm just here to encourage you today. I'm not getting in depth, deep into the word, but I just want to encourage you. But you're going to leave this place thinking about, yeah, big old butts. That preacher talked about butts today, but they're good butts. They're good. They're good because in this world, we could be focused and so reliant that we miss, we get blurred on what we are praying for and what we are believing for. And we get so much into the circumstance that God is right here saying, just rise up. Take a hold of the word and step it out by faith and watch what I'll do. Hallelujah. No matter what the devil does, it will not, listen to me, it will not, it shall not be any greater or even close to what God will do. My God shall supply all your needs according to your needs. He's your blesser. He's your prosperer. He's your healer. He will give you life. He will, he'll deliver you. He'll build you up when it seems like you don't know how to make it through. He'll come by you, he'll pick you up, and he'll take you the rest of the way like the gentleman just sang about. And you may not even notice that you thought, I have to struggle through this thing. I have to, and God carried you through all the way. Because not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. The spirit. See, the devil did not factor in the anointing, the very thing God has given to you, Jesus Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing, which you received today. I don't know if you looked in the mirror lately, but I see nothing but greatness in this place. I don't know about you if you didn't look in the mirror lately. Now I'm looking at everybody. I'm looking you all over now. I see nothing but world shakers and history makers. I see nothing but the image and the reflection of an almighty Jesus Christ that the devil looks upon and he says, and he thinks he can stand against you. But as you start to confess, as you start to walk forward, and as you start to become stronger in the word, and you say, devil, if you want to come against this family, well, you got another thing coming, because you will not succeed and you will not progress, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. How did Jesus overcome in the wilderness? Devil, it is written. Devil, it is written. And then it became so alive on the inside of him that he goes, devil, it is said. In other words, look at the words coming out of my mouth, because they are hope. They are like a two-edged sword that if you come against me, I'm taking you out. The devil is only a created being. He is not a God. But still, the deception, the influence he has over this world, that means we have a job to do. But you can't help somebody drowning if you're drowning yourself. Hallelujah. I don't care how old you are. You ain't old. Oh, Pastor Murray, I just feel as you, what's the slogan? You're just as old as you feel. Amen. I may have a body of a coming soon 40-year-old. I don't feel it. I may be a little bit chubbier than I should be. But I want to tell you this. As I continue to walk out the promises of God, because they are yes, and they are finished, or amen, I don't see anything else but success. Did you know God, and I'm going to end. Did you know God knows your end from your beginning? Did you know that? But he also says, with long life will I satisfy thee. He says, Jesus come that he may give life and life abundantly. So if I'm taking a hold of those scriptures that says, God, I thank you for a long life, and you will satisfy me. That means I'm going to be old, I'm going to see my children's children, and I'm going to see my children's children's children if the rapture don't come first. But I will be satisfied with long life. And if I take a hold of that, understand this, and I got to clue this up really quickly. And I shared this with you so many times before. But there is a place called there for you. Each and every one of you has a destiny and destination. Each and every one of you has a purpose from God. That whatever you to do, you will be successful as you start to walk it out. But in that, understand this. There is a destiny and destination. In other words, if God knows where he sees the end, that pillar is the end from my beginning, and I'm in the midst of my journey. If he knows where that is, he has already provided everything you need to make it there. Think about it. We're lacking because we don't see the finished product. We're lacking in health because we don't see the finished product. But I'm in the midst of my journey. God says, you are ordained to be there. This is where I created you to be. This is where you will end. And this is where when the time comes, I'm not going to be to the place where death is going to win over my life. I'll be like Peter. I believe it's Peter. Peter or Paul. One of the P's. Says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I'm going home. Death does not dictate when I leave this earth. Powerful man of God. Knew who he was. But now, God says, this is where I have ordained you to be. This is where you're going to be. So, if whatever the devil tries to come against you, whatever the snare, whatever the problem, whatever the situation, I have given you, I have already provided the answer for you to overcome. Hallelujah. That's a good God. He just didn't leave you just to try to find your way. He didn't leave you just to wander around and say, maybe what can I do today? No, he has given you a purpose. He's given you two purposes. One purpose is his, to see people saved. That's part of the blessing. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow into it. But then you have a personal purpose. Mine is right here. I mean, I'm preaching to what? Under 50 people every Sunday, and I get the greatest satisfaction out of it because I know where I'm going. So if I'm going to whine and complain about where I am, you know, I'm never going to make it there. But if I'm excited every Sunday that I get to stand up and receive from God the word, and then I get to share it with everybody else, I'm excited because that is exactly where I'm supposed to be. If you're working in Walmart as a greeter, hey, be the best greeter you can be. If you're working tilling the ground as a farmer, you be the best farmer you can be. If you are raising your child, if you're an at-home mom, you be the best at home. And you say, hey, my child will grow up never knowing the things that I had to go through. They'll never know lack. They'll never know poverty. They'll never know sickness, because I'm going to instill the word in them. And they're going to rise up to be a mighty, mighty person of God. Purpose. I went over time. I went over time. So in the midst of a bad night, he gets blurred in Psalm 77. He starts to think, God, why are you doing this when God did not do it? But, he says, I'll remember, I'll meditate, I'll focus on your goodness, on what you've done. And I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. That's faith. I'm coming through. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Is that who you are? One, praise God. Hallelujah. Is that who you are? Are you more than a conqueror? That's what the Bible calls you. Hallelujah. Are you above and not beneath? Hallelujah. Are you going over and not under? Is greater that is in you greater than he that is in the world? Yes. So I don't know about you, but somebody, there needs to be a victory shout, because I don't know what you're going through, but even when David defeated Goliath and the whole army of Israel was hunched back, they were hiding, and then David, the representative of who Christ Jesus is, took down the enemy, and then the rest of the army saw what happened. They all shouted and they went running. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I am victorious through Christ Jesus. That's who I am. I have the victory because Jesus paid for it. And I'm not going to crawl up the ladder of the cross and spit in his face and tell him it doesn't work. But I will stand strong and I'll say, victory in Christ. I will proclaim his goodness. I will share forth all he has done. Because in my strength I can't do it. But bless God, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's more than enough. But now I access it because I'm a man of faith. Are you a people of faith? Hallelujah. The faith, he says, the just shall live by faith. The justified. Jesus has justified you. Whew. I'm sorry I tried to keep it short today. I tried. I tried. But I don't want to limit the Holy Ghost. I don't want to put him in a box. No. If he's going to do what he's going to do, I say, go ahead. You do what you do. Because even 5 minutes in the presence of God can do more than 500 sermons. Because he is God. Amen. We learn We take a hold. The word is life unto us. But in his presence. What's that mean? Tracy, come here, please. Birthday girl. Wife. Hottie. Stand there. Face the people. Last illustration, and I'm stopping. In so many facts, and in some way or another, I'm in the presence of Tracy, but for today's illustration, I'm so far from Tracy. I don't see her. I don't notice her. So I'm not really in her presence. She can't hold my hand. She can't, you know, she can't help me if I need help. And that's where many Christians are today. But if we are in the presence of God Almighty, just like I'm in the presence of Tracy Shawnee, I'm standing in her presence. In other words, she's right here. Think about it. It's not on some cloud floating around. Right here. The presence of an Almighty God. That's put something into my heart, into my spirit. That when we get to the place when we are in the presence of an Almighty God, he's not far, he's not distant, he's not long distance. Right? That's what we heard yesterday at the house. He's not far. When Peter started to sink when he walked on the water, he was in the presence of Jesus Christ. It didn't say Jesus had to run over and pick him up. It says Jesus reached down. Peter felt so comfortable. He was in the presence of Jesus. Thank you, Tracy. That he could take his eyes, his focus, off of Jesus and look at the storm. As soon as he did, he started to sink, right? Jesus was right there. He picked him up. Sometimes we get too comfortable and we lose focus. Today, I just wanted to encourage you to keep focus on that word and proclaim that word, speak that word, believe that word. I heard this phrase before. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Amen. Hold on. God said it, that settles it. If you believe it or not, it's still settled in heaven. Now I believe and receive. Amen? God said it. That settles it. It's in his word. He keeps his word. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm just going to close the word. Father, I just received today. Father, I just believe today, sorry, that I did what you have called me to do, to be an encourager. Father God, that the sower soweth the word. And Father God, I thank you for such a heart, such a precious ground in this place. That Father God, as the word goes forth, Lord, that Lord, we say, Lord, all the things, all the pressures and all the things, but there's a God who is for me and not against me. So in that, Father, I thank you for that word, and I expect a harvest to come forth, to rise up in the hearts of the people and the spirits of the people. That the sower soweth the word, so Father God, there must be a harvest. And a Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for your anointing, for the word that waters the seed. That Father God, let it be built up, let it go forth, and let it accomplish the goodness, the greatness that you have purposed it to do. And Father God, I thank you right now for your precious spirit. That Father God, that is even ministering right now. That, Father God, those that have hardships, those that have been holding on to things, that right now, in the name of Jesus, those chains are broken. In the name of Jesus. The things that the devil had meant, we bind that purpose and we remove it in the name of Jesus. That it will not accomplish, because no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. But, Father God, now I loose the blessing of the Lord. Of increase, of abundance, of overcoming, Father God, of faith now in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now for that anointing to do so. We just give you the glory, the honor, and the praises in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen and amen.